Afternoon, we'll be hearing from our brother Carl Hagensick from the Chicago Ecclesia. And his subject for us at this time is the chastisements of Israel. The chastisements of Israel. Brother Carl.
Well, brethren, I think I speak for each of us when I say it's a joy to be back together again in the fellowship of one another once again. One of the blessings of the General Convention is it gives the opportunity, as one speaker after another gives the love from the home ecclesias, to recognize that we do have truly love and appreciation of our brethren, not only throughout the country, but throughout the world. We join in that effort by bringing the love and greetings of the ecclesia in Chicago. They are very glad to send their love to the convention. Brother Boone asked me just before the prayer on the subject of the chastisements of Israel. He said, "Do you mean natural Israel or spiritual Israel?" The chastisements of natural Israel. We're going to be looking at some of the experiences that God put the people of Israel through during his period of dealing with them. The text we'd like to begin with is one that I think you're very familiar with, and one I think you're very unfamiliar with. It's Amos, the third chapter, the second verse, and most of us can quote that scripture. "You only have I known of all the families of the earth." And if you were to quote it like I just quoted it, you'd be exactly one half right. Our theme text really is the unknown half of that scripture, the second portion. Scripture has two parts. Amos 3:2, "You only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for all your iniquities." Because of a unique position, they also receive unique chastisements and unique punishings. The principle is the same for the Church of Christ. The Apostle Paul says in Hebrews, the 12th chapter, verses 6 and 7, "That whom the Father loves, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receives." This was certainly true with the natural Israel. Many of you may have seen the presentation of Fiddler on the Roof, and you may have recalled that incident where Tevye says, "Lord, I know we're your chosen people, but couldn't you choose somebody else for a change?" Especially when it comes to the chastisements that happen. And Israel certainly has gone through their share of difficult experiences. Doctrinally, or prophetically speaking, there are five main chastisements that God has outlined in the Bible for the nation of Israel. In the time we have today, we want to look at these five chastising experiences from a doctrinal standpoint. We want to notice the duration of each. We want to notice why that particular punishment was executed. And third, we'd like to look at why was that punishment the amount of time it was. You know, in our system, when a criminal is up before the court systems, the judge has a certain amount of discretion as to the amount of prison sentence to give. He's given guidelines. Within this, he gives his prison sentence. The Heavenly Father has been the judge of Israel. He has given certain punishments for certain periods of time. Was God arbitrary in selecting the amount of time he chose? Why did he set the punishment lengths at the time he set them? The five chastisements of Israel we're going to look at, just to give a preview of the things we're going to be getting into. Number one is the double of Israel. Number two is the times of the Gentiles. Number three is the Babylonian captivity. Number four is the Nazi Holocaust. And number five is Jacob's trouble. These are the five areas we want to look at in each case, looking at the duration, the purpose, and why the time length of punishment was there. When we speak of the double of Israel, that perhaps is the most difficult to define as to what we mean time-wise, because the term itself implies two portions. But when we speak of chastisement, we're speaking of the chastising double of Israel, the double of disfavor, which goes from the rejection of Israel by their Messiah in 33 AD, when he said, "Your house left you desolate," until God opened up the way for the Jew to return to his homeland in 1878 AD, looking at a period of 1,845 years. There are many scriptures, particularly three, that deal specifically with this punishment. Isaiah, the 40th chapter, the first two verses, reads this way: comfort ye my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem, and cry out to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, because she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The prophet Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 16, verse 18, speaks of the same period. And he says, "My eyes are on all their ways, they are not hidden from my face, nor is their iniquity hidden from mine eyes. But first, I will repay double for their iniquity and their sins, because they have defiled my land. They have filled my inheritance with the carcasses of the detestable and abominable idols." Keeping a finger there, but turning quickly to Zechariah, the 9th chapter, verses 9 to 12, we have the third reference to this period of punishment. Zechariah chapter 9, verses 9 to 12. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming unto you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of an ass. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem. The battle bow shall be cut off. He shall speak peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you also, because of the blood of the covenant, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return to the stronghold, you prisoners of hope. Even today do I declare that I will render double unto you." The term double in all three of these verses, although from different Hebrew words, has the same concept of a folded piece of paper, a like amount, a duplicate. And this suggests the length period. It is as long as God had given them favor as a nation. God began dealing with Israel as a nation when the 12 tribes, the 12 sons of Jacob, coalesced and formed a tribal unit upon the death of their forefather, upon the death of Jacob in 1813 BC. So as they had enjoyed a period of unparalleled favor, when God could say to them, "You only have I known of all the families of the earth," for 1,845 years, so there would be an equivalent period of disfavor or punishment. But why? What was the specific crime? Again, going to the court systems, a punishment, a jail sentence, requires a specific charge and a guilty sentence. It is not a general misdemeanor. You haven't done well, therefore I'm going to punish you. There is a specific crime. And the Jeremiah 16 reference gives us the specific crime for which the punishment of the double was given. "Because you have filled your land with the carcasses of the detestable and abominable idols." Is he talking about the general crime of idolatry? I would suggest not, that may be included, but that there was a specific idol that they had set up, an idol of Jehovah's making, but of their abuse, that they began worshiping with detestable animals. And that idol was the promise of a Messiah. When a Messiah was promised to Israel, they began certain typical sacrifices, which saying, he's coming, he's coming, he's coming. But when he came, and they continued offering those animals in sacrifice in that temple, they were then still saying, he's coming, when in fact he had been there. The crime is the rejection of their Messiah. By rejecting their Messiah, they went into this. And that is why the punishment begins, according to Zechariah, when the triumphal entry into Jerusalem comes. He presents himself as their king. They reject him as their king, and he says, behold, your house is left unto you desolate. Why was the punishment period 1,845 years? The principle is that of an eye for an eye. The principle is equality. The equality of favor to the equality of disfavor. You had enjoyed the blessings of anticipation of your Messiah for this long. Because you have missed him, you will then suffer the consequences for an equal period. We have a scripture that spells this principle out. It also uses the word double, but it's not in the Old Testament. It's not the same Hebrew word, it's a Greek word. It doesn't even refer to Israel, but it spells out the concept very well. It's in Revelation, the 18th chapter, verses 6 and 7. And here is a double upon Babylon, Babylon the Great. But let's notice the concept of double as it is spelled out in Revelation 18, 6 and 7. Render to her just as she rendered to you. Repay her double or duplicate according to her works in the cup which she has mixed. Mix for her the double, the duplicate, in the measure that she glorified herself and lived luxuriously. In the same measure, equal, give her torment and sorrow, for she says in her heart, I sit as queen and am no widow and will not see sorrow. Here is the principle of the double. As much as there was on the one, so there would be equality on the other. Let's turn to the second period of chastisement, the times of the Gentiles, referred to in Luke 21:24. Jerusalem would be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles would be fulfilled. But that's a general term. Can we be more specific in what these times are? How long the duration is? And generally, we would go to Leviticus, the 26th chapter. The entire chapter, but especially verses 14 to 39, where in four successive occasions, God says to natural Israel, because you have been unfaithful, I will punish you seven times for your sins. Repetitively, he states this, and we have it further identified with a very similar expression in Daniel, the 7th chapter, verse 32, where King Nebuchadnezzar sees this tree that is cut down and is, for 7 years, he is forced to eat outside as an animal himself. Picturing that same seven times, that same seven period. 7 times or 7 years. By this we get the thought of it is 7 times the number of days in a prophetic year. Here's where you need blackboard and chalk and all of these other things. But if we had them, we would say there are 360 days in 1 year. So in 7, there is 2,520 days. Beginning with the rejection of Israel from the throne that God had had the children of David sit on in 607 B.C., moving forward 2,520 years, brings us to 1914 A.D., when a series of events, including World War I, including the Balfour Declaration, begins to lend legal sustenance to the proposition of Palestine as a homeland for the Jewish people. We see a clearly marked period, but we want to clearly distinguish this period from the double. These are different punishments, even though they overlap. They are for different purposes, they have different reasons, and therefore different durations. What was the purpose of the punishment of the times of the Gentiles? Leviticus 26 is very clear. Because you have not kept my law. It was, in general, disobedience of the law of God. Within that law, it included many features that they had been disobedient to. But among these features, and I'm going to read just one of the sections, it is the general disobedience to the law that is being punished. But among them was a special feature, Leviticus 26, verses 32 to 35. I will bring the land to desolation, and your enemies who dwell in it shall be astonished at it. I will scatter you among the nations and draw out a sword after you. Your land shall be desolate and your cities waste. Then the land shall enjoy its Sabbaths as long as it lies desolate and you are in your enemy's land. Then the land shall rest and enjoy her Sabbaths. As long as it lies desolate, it shall rest. For the time it did not rest in your Sabbaths when you dwelt in it. So it included, among other things, specifically the violation of the commandments for the land to rest in the seventh year. It was particularly for the sabbatical law, although it was the disobedience of the law in general that brought about the entire punishment. But why 2,520 years? Why was the punishment that long? Because it was seven times, reinforcing the fact that every seventh year you were to let that land lie desolate. You were to let it lie fallow. You were to let it go. And using that same principle where the violation was on the seventh, he uses that as the multiple of the years. And he says, now look forward to that many years of days for the punishment. A direct relationship between the crime, the rejection of the law, particularly Sabbath law, and the rejection, and God's rejection of them for a period of seven symbolic years, 2,520. Our third punishment is really a subsection. It's a part of the 2,520 years, but for that matter, the double is a part of it also, different part. It is not unusual for a judge in passing sentence for multiple crimes to give a sentence for each crime and let them run contiguously, synchronously, to let the punishment be at the same period. But within this, he spells out the period of each punishment. This punishment was a punishment that began the larger cycle. But it was specific within itself. It was related to the crime of the larger one, but it was a very specific crime. Interestingly enough, of all of the chastisements of Israel, there are more scriptures dealing directly with this one than with any of the others, unless we take Jacob's trouble. That one perhaps may supersede it. We're going to read a few of them. 2 Chronicles, the 36th chapter, verses 20 and 21, is the basic text upon which the length of the Babylonian captivity is based. And those who escaped from the sword, he carried away to Babylon, when they became servants to him and his sons, until the reign of the kingdom of Persia, to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the Lord had enjoyed her land had enjoyed her Sabbaths. As long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath to fulfill 70 years. Here is a specific crime, similar, in fact, at this point, they appear identical. At this point, both crimes say Sabbath law. But here, the punishment was not 7 times 2,520, but 70 years, a 70-year period. He says this is to fulfill the word of the prophet Jeremiah. The prophet Jeremiah twice spoke of the duration of this captivity. First, we read about it in Jeremiah, the 25th chapter, verses 9 and 10. Jeremiah 25, 9 and 10. Behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, said the Lord, and Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring them against this land, against its inhabitants, against these nations all around, and will utterly destroy them and make them an astonishment, a hissing, and perpetual desolation. Moreover, I will take from them the voice of the mirth and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the sound of the millstone and the light of the lamp, and the whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. A very specific statement by Jeremiah. The 29th chapter of Jeremiah. In verse 10 of chapter 29, thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good work toward you and cause you to return to this place. And verse 18, and I will pursue them with the sword, and with famine, with pestilence. I will deliver them to trouble among the kingdoms of the earth, to be a curse, an astonishment, a hissing, and a reproach among all the nations where I have driven them. And verse 28, for he has sent us to Babylon, saying, this captivity is long. Build houses and dwell in them, plant gardens and eat their fruit. So here was a captivity of 70 years, a captivity related to, again, because you have not kept the Sabbath. He tells us why this captivity of 70 years. He said, I had designed that there be 70 Sabbaths. As long as you have not kept them, you shall be forced to keep them. So he supplies the information as to the reason for the duration of 70. It's nothing we need to guess at. And yet, as we go back and look at the history of Israel, we realize that there were many more than 70 Sabbaths that they did not keep. They were in their land for a period of 969 years before this. And during that period, you divide that by seven, you've got 150-some Sabbaths, almost, that they could have kept more thoroughly and didn't. So is he referring to the seventh-year Sabbath here, as he was in the picture of the 2,520 years? Fortunately, we have a scripture which opens that mystery for us. It's in Ezekiel, the seventh chapter, verses 12 and 13. And he tells us what makes this punishment unique, why this punishment would differ from any other punishment he had given to Israel. Ezekiel 7, 12 and 13. The time has come as the armies of Nebuchadnezzar fled into the land. The time has come, the days draw near. Let not the buyer rejoice, nor the seller mourn, for wrath is on their entire multitude. For the seller shall not return to what has been sold, though he may still be alive. For the vision concerning the whole multitude, it shall not turn back. No one will strengthen himself who lives in iniquity. Notice what he says. He said, this punishment would be so unique that there's a custom among you that won't be carried out anymore. A custom where a buyer and a seller will no longer return to property that they once sold. That was not a feature of Sabbath law. That was a feature of one unique Sabbath law that dealt with a larger Sabbath period, the Jubilees of Israel. The Jubilees was the only one where you had a seller and buyer returning and not returning. And he says, why? Because this punishment will affect the entire multitude. He said, why in Jeremiah 29:28? Because the period will be long, longer than a Jubilee cycle. So you will have to be out of the land during a period when you could return. It's out of your control. Oh, there were many other Jubilees they didn't return. But this one was unique. This one you couldn't if you wanted to. It was not within the controlling power that was there. That is further supported by a historical incident in the 34th chapter of Isaiah that we won't take time to read in detail. But it's interesting that as the armies of Nebuchadnezzar begin coming down upon Zedekiah, Zedekiah said, isn't there some way we can stop these armies? And his prophet tells him, yes, call a jubilee. And he calls one, and it lasts for one day, and they all go back and forget it. And so the armies come in. But the last-ditch reform effort was to try to introduce a jubilee. So the Babylonian captivity is a separate punishment for a separate crime that dealt with the failure to keep the jubilee law. Now let's look at the two more modern punishments. Punishments of post-return Israel. The Holocaust. Is that a biblical punishment? We say, yes, it is. It's a punishment referred to, we believe, quite specifically in Jeremiah chapter 16, verse 16, where we read, I will send for many fishermen, says the Lord, and they shall fish them. And afterward I will send for many hunters, and they shall hunt them from every mountain and every hill and out of the holes of the rocks. While that may be a general experience of the pogroms of Israel and all the hard experiences that they face, we think that specifically he's saying, there is a specific hunting expedition that follows the fishing expedition. The fishing was that which was to lure them back. The call of Zionism, particularly the calls of political Zionism under Herzl, Jabotinsky, and others who cried out in the late 1800s. When that failed, when they did not return, they said, yes, there needs to be a chastisement. There needs to be a harder punishment to drive you back to the land. And he called in the hunters. The Holocaust we don't have a scriptural duration for. We do have a historical duration. It's an event that has a very specific opening and a very specific closing. It opened in what was called Kristallnacht, when there was the rebellion and the pogroms against the Jews that swept through the Germany, which had the newly elected chancellor of Adolf Hitler in 1933. And it lasted until the close of the Second World War, when the Third Reich was finally and forever put out of business. It was a short duration. It had its effect. Many of the Jews said, we have learned one lesson. The only place of safety is our homeland. We need a homeland, and they began returning. The crime was the failure to heed the Lord's enticements to return to the land. And when they went to the land in the first place, the Lord divided that land amongst them. He divided amongst 12 tribes. He said, these are the homeland of the 12 tribes of Israel. And here, symbolically, he gives them a punishment of 12 years, 1933 to 1945, 1 year for each of the tribes, to get them to return to that land, that becoming the land that he originally wanted them to go to, and they would not heed the enticements alone. We've looked at four punishments. In these four punishments that we have looked at, we have tried to trace primarily two things. We have tried to notice in these four punishments that they're each for a different crime, that no two are for the same
problem.
Each one bears a different sentence, and there is a poetic, if not more than poetic, justice to the, of the duration of the sentence as related to the crime. We're not going to be quite so fortunate in looking at a last one, because prophecy which has not been fulfilled is more difficult to piece together than history compared with prophecy already fulfilled. The scriptures do abound in references to a climactic trouble upon Israel. Not all agree that all of these scriptures apply to exactly the same period, although I think perhaps the majority do. Jeremiah 37 is the one that uses the term Jacob's trouble. Ezekiel 38 and 39 is perhaps the most specifically known as describing a final climactic battle against Israel. Zephaniah, the first chapter, describes the same battle in great detail, using a different symbolism, the day of Jehovah. Joel, the third chapter, describes the same battle in great detail, using the symbolism, the valley of Jehoshaphat. But all of them, regardless of the figures they use, the image they portray, they're saying that Israel has still one more period of difficulty to go through. It has not yet reached its final horizon. And this, like all other chastisements of Israel, is for a specific crime. The crime of for which Jacob's trouble is levied is given in Zephaniah, the third chapter, and it's given very specifically. It's spelled out in almost so many words. Zephaniah chapter 3, verses 11 to 13. In that day, you shall not be ashamed for any of your deeds in which you transgress against me. For then I will take away from you those who rejoice in your pride, and you shall no longer be haughty in my holy mountain. I will leave in your midst a meek and humble people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. The remnant of Israel shall not do iniquity, and speak no lies, nor shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth. For they shall feed their flocks and lie down, and no one shall make them afraid. Ezekiel 20, verse 38, describes the same thing by saying, I will purge out the rebels from among you. Zechariah 14, 2, speaks about the same trouble and the same reason when he says half the city should go into captivity. That within the return of Israel, there is a rebellious element who says, we can do it ourselves. We don't need God's help. And a meek and a humble people. And the Lord needs to chastise that pride. And so he gives them a specific punishment. From when to when? From some point in the future to some other point in the future. And because I don't know the beginning and the ending, I can't give you the length. And because I can't give you the length, I can't give you the philosophy as why is that long. Perhaps we'll know when it's over. That's one of those mysteries that is still to be unveiled. But we do know that it's for a specific purpose. In summary, time is up. We want to state that what we try to look at is the fact that as God has dealt with his people, he has dealt with them as a loving father, but a stern disciplinarian. He has punished their sins and their transgressions. But he is a specific father, and each punishment has related to a specific crime for a specific length. There has been the double of 1845 years that has been specifically for the rejection of Messiah. They have paid that. That crime can no longer be held against them. The time of the Gentiles was for the specific crime of the breaches of the law, particularly Sabbath law. They have paid the penalty. That crime cannot be held against them. The Babylonian captivity was specifically for the feature of the Jubilee law. They have paid that penalty. That can no longer be held against them. The Holocaust was because they did not heed the enticements of God to return to their land. That charge can no longer be held against them. They have paid the penalty. There is still one charge left. A pride and arrogance that says we don't need God. To those that have that feeling, a great chastisement is coming. To those who do not have that feeling, they will pass through it. They'll pass through it and be tested and approved. And then, as the prophet Micah says, to that remnant that comes through, they shall be like the dew among the nations. There'll be a shower of blessing as they pass on. The blessings that they receive from their restored prophets of old, the ancient worthies. And as together they begin to disseminate that information amongst the world, it will be the time when every nation shall begin to hearken and to go up to the mountain that God has established upon the top of the mountains. Then they will grab the hold of the skirt of him that is Jew, saying, we will go up with you, for we've heard that God is with you. Because God does not chastise merely to show his anger, but every son whom he receives chastises, learns the lesson, and learning the lesson becomes an instrument of blessing in the hands of God.